of this evening. We would like for you to keep my wife and I in prayer as we plan on going back home on Friday, if the Lord be not come. Our grandson is graduating. Doesn't seem possible, but it's true. And he's graduating next Wednesday, Lord willing, and we ought to fly home to be there with him for this special occasion in his life. So keep us in your prayer. We'll be gone for a week, and then, in the will of the Lord, we will return and be with you until the end of the month, the Lord be not come. This evening I want to share with you on a subject that is most important, extremely important, in all our hearts and lives. We can't live without it, and we dare not die without it. And that subject is faith. The Lord Jesus, when he was here during his ministry, spoke often of faith. And there's much written in the scriptures about faith. But tonight I want us to look in particular at the life of a man whose was a life of faith. Now, we often talk about this man before I call his name, and when I say this, you'll know who it is. We often say, if I only had the patience of Job, don't we? All the time. Many things in life, and they say, I need the patience of Job to work with you, or you need the patience of Job, or if I only had the patience of Job. But you know something? There was more to the life of Job than his patience, although he had to have a lot with his friends that he had around him. But there was more to the life of this man than his patience, and that was his everlasting, undying faith in his God. He had a faith. When we look at his life, and tonight I want us to think of this, of a faith that stands when our world seems to be falling apart. A faith that stands when our world seems to be falling apart. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would please, to Job, naturally. In the book of Job, beginning at verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect. Now, I think that word perfect there means good, because the scripture says that there's none perfect. There was only one perfect person ever in this world, and that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the scripture says that that man was perfect or good and upright and one that feared God and avoids evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His property or his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all of the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one on his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. I was thinking when I was reading through that, would to God that we as parents would be as deeply concerned as Job was for his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and renounce God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. I'm going to skip down a little further for the sake of time this evening. I want to go down to verse 13. In between of these passages, there's a story of Satan appearing in the presence of the Lord, and he's talking about Job and what he is like and who he is. And the scripture says in verse 13, there was a day. Notice that. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. The Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and destroyed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And if that wasn't bad news enough, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now notice this man. Notice this man. And Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, notice this, in all of this, and tonight I want you and I to place ourselves in this picture. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Here's a story of a man, if ever there was a man, whose life was torn apart, was this man, Job. Perhaps tonight you and I can relate to a time in our lives that we found ourselves in a similar situation. I know I can. And we know how devastating it is. And we don't know or understand many times the reasons why. But as believers, as children of God, as those who have put our faith and trust in Him and surrendered our lives to Him, we must have faith in our God. We must trust in Him, come what may. Though difficult it may be, we must trust in Him. We must ask Him for faith, to grant us the faith that we need to see us through whatever the test of our life may be. Because He knows the reason why. He knows the reason why more than you and I do. More than you and I do. We see today. We see the now. And I pray that we may remember this as we go in our lives. God sees the future. God sees beyond the now. He sees tomorrow, next week, next year, down the future, the road of our life. And He knows. He holds tomorrow in His hand. And that is the comforting part in all of our lives as His children. Our God holds not only our lives in His hand, but He holds tomorrow in His hand. He holds the future in His hands. There's a song that we sing that says, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows, not me, not you. He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. See, that's it. That's it there. I don't understand about today. I don't understand what may be tomorrow. But the one thing that I understand, that you can understand, is that we know the one who holds tomorrow. And we know the one who holds our hand. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Job, according to what I've read in your hearing this evening, was a godly man. Job was a good man, the scripture says. Job was blessed abundantly by God with the amenities of life. We read of the cattle that he had. Job was a man with a great family. Scripture says that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters for whom he prayed continually. Job was a man that pleased God that we read in verse 8. And we can describe Job perhaps this evening in 3 words. He was healthy, he was wealthy, and he was wise. He was healthy, wealthy, and wise. And in the midst of all of that, he had a great faith in God. A great faith in his God. But one day, something happened that changed his life forever. Something happened that changed his life forever. His world fell apart all around him. And we need to remember this. It was allowed by God. It was allowed by God. Well, we say, why would God, if Job was such a great man, why would God allow something like this to happen in his life? Why would God allow something like that to happen in my life, to happen in your life, if we love Him and we serve Him? It is because God allows these tests to come into our lives, to try us, to see how much faith we have, to see how strong we are, to see how much we love Him. Because we represent Him down here on earth. And the world looks at our lives. And yes, He allows these things to happen. And many times we don't understand why. We don't know the reasons why. But you can rest assured this evening, if something has happened in your life that's been devastating and you're still asking why, there is a reason why. But ours is to trust God and allow Him to work out His purposes in our lives and through the circumstances that have taken place in our lives. Whatever we do, don't give up on God. Don't throw up our hands in despair. Don't turn your backs on God, my friends. You got nowhere else to go. Don't turn your back on God. You got nowhere else to go. This was allowed by God for a reason, as we know in the verses that I skipped, to test the faith of Job, to prove to Satan that his faith in God would stand the test. That his faith in God would stand the test. Now, there's a verse of Scripture. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this, my brethren, Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Has any trial fallen in your life that you've counted a joy? That you've sat down and had a good laugh about it? Probably not. Probably not. And we wonder, how could he say something like that? How could you or I, as we go through these tests and these trials in our lives, as we shed tears of sorrow and grief, and our hearts are broken and we're disappointed with what's happening in our lives, how can we count it joy? Beloved, this evening, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we got to look to Him, and we got to depend on Him, and we got to believe in Him that what He is doing it for a purpose. And in the midst of the heartaches and the pain, let the joy of the Lord be seen in our lives. It may be difficult, but Job proved that it could be done. He proved that it could be done. Job said in chapter 23 of verse 10, he says, "He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." God knows the way. God knows the reason why. God knows why the test. And He's trying your life and He tries my life to see how we will come forth. Job says, "When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." In James 1, verse 12, the apostle writing says, "Blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried," you're going to be tried. If you haven't been, you will be. If you haven't been tested, you will be. If your world hasn't fallen apart somehow, some way or the other, it will come. We will be tested. God will allow these things to test us to see where we stand. How strong is our faith in God? Or do we just give up in despair and turn our backs and walk away from God? It's easy to do. It is very easy to do. And beloved, this evening I stand there before you and tell you that I came almost that close to doing it. That close to doing it 25 years ago when my daughter and son-in-law were killed in that plane accident, which you heard many times perhaps. And I came to that point where Satan was just at me and attacking me because we were having services continually in Treasure Key, my wife and I and the kids every day. And when that happened, I was attacked and the devil kept throwing at me, "Look what God has done to you. Look what God has done to you. That's what you get for what you've been doing." And I came to that point in my life where I had to get on the phone and I called Brother David Cartwright. You all know him very well. And I said to him, "Brother David, look, the devil has had me. He's attacking me right now, and I am in terrible shape. I need prayer. I need prayer." And he said, "I'll pray for you." I said, "I want you to pray for me now. I need it now." And beloved, we can find ourselves in those positions. And he prayed with me, and I could feel the presence of God in that prayer. And I can tell you that my life turned around because I was questioning, why God, why this, why me? And I know we've been through it. Many of you perhaps have. And we get to that point and we need to turn to God. We need to hold His hand. We need to have Him hold our hands because He knows what the future is. He knows what is ahead. Don't turn on God. Don't turn your back. It happens. It happens in our lives. And one day the scripture says all of this happened. In verse 14, the news came about the oxen and the asses. In verse 16, even while he was speaking, the news came about the sheep and the shepherds that were slain. In verse 17, there's more bad news. The camels and their keepers have been slain by the Chaldeans. And then in verses 18 and 19, the most devastating news of all, if you've ever had it told to you, the most devastating news of all is, and you can understand this pain, your sons and your daughters have died in a violent storm. Beloved, you tell me that isn't a package of devastation, enough to destroy your life, enough to make you want to run away and hide somewhere. And wonder what in the world is going on around you, what's happening. None of us have never experienced, I'm sure, that total package of devastation as Job had. And I pray to God that we never have a will in our lives. But I want you to look at the response that he made in verse 21. The response that he gave was, "Naked came out I of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither." The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Did Job have any feelings? How could he just say something like that? Yes, Job had feelings just like you and I. Job was human. Job's heart was broken. But the thing about it as we look at this scripture is, did Job commit suicide? No. Did Job curse God? No. Did he do anything foolish? Verse 22 says, he sinned not, and he did not accuse God foolishly. But here's what he did in verse 20. He tore his robe. He shaved his head, a sign of grief. He fell down, and he worshiped God. He tore his robe. He shaved his head. He fell down, and he worshiped God. What a man. What a faith. What a man. What a faith. At that time of his life, when he could have done most things, he responded by turning to God. This evening, my friends, that's the answer. That's the answer. We may not think so when it happens in our lives. And I speak from experience. I'm not saying something to you tonight that I read in a book or something, but from personal experience in life. When you're down at your lowest point in life and you don't know where to turn and what to do, God is the answer. He holds it in His hand. And we have to have that faith and that trust in Him to believe that He can and He will see us through whatever that storm of life may be. He'll see us through. The sun will shine again. The sun will shine again. And I can tell you another little story. And I don't like to tell you too many personal stories, but I would prefer telling you a story that I know is a fact than one that I read that I'm not sure about. During this same period of time, I was alone. I left my wife at home, and we flew back to Arkansas. That's where they were living when the accident occurred. And we went there to get all of the things that was left. I flew up with my son-in-law's parents. I had to come back. And I remember so vividly, so very vividly, and this was 25 years ago, and it is just as fresh this evening as it was then. I had to book a flight out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, to fly to Atlanta or to Jacksonville and back home. And that morning, it was as cold as it could be. It was about to snow. We had to drive 2 hours to get to the airport. I got on that airplane and holding in my hand was a little package that was very dear to my daughter's heart. And I wouldn't let it go. I sat in that plane and we taxied down the runway and we took off. And the tears was coming down my cheeks. I know it. And we were going through, it was rough, really rough. And then all of a sudden, there was a bright sunshine. Beautiful sunshine. And there was like a voice that said to me, my son, the sun will shine again. The sun will shine again. You may be going through darkness, difficulties in your life, even tonight. But I encourage you to remember this. The sun will shine again in your lives. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Don't turn loose. Don't turn your back. God is able. We see this here in the story. Job said, "The Lord gave and He hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How could he say this, we say? I would suggest three reasons. And I pray God will use them to encourage our lives this evening as we face our difficulties as they come. First of all, Job was a man who saw the Lord as a source of life. He saw the Lord as the source of his life. Notice his words, the Lord gave. There is a view that we all need to have today in all things of our lives. Everything that we have is of God. He gives it to us. Yes, we work perhaps by the sweat of our brow, but it's all from God. Everything is from God. Nothing is ours. Nothing is ours. Nothing that you have. I don't care what we may have. It's not ours. We can lose it in a moment. It's gone. It all comes from God. It belongs to Him. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is the great giver. He is the great giver. He demonstrated this through His Son. He gave the greatest gift the world has ever known. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, and He gave Him to die for you and I. The greatest gift. The Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, the scripture says. And so Job realized that nothing, absolutely nothing in this life is forever, including his family. He knew it was all there by the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Yes, I believe Job wept bitterly. He wept bitterly for his children. He wept bitterly for his possessions. But he had a strong faith in God. And he could say when he came to the end of this test, as it did, the sun shone again. But he could say this, that through it all, and we can say it, and I have said it, and I encourage you to say it this evening, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Beloved, if you're going to trust in something else, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time as you go through the difficulties of life. Friends are dear. Family are dearer still. But the greatest one of all to put your faith and trust in is in God, because He loves you and He cares about you. And when friends and family will forsake you, He never will. He never will. He will always be by our side. Job knew this. Job could say, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Then secondly, Job saw the Lord as sovereign over the length of his days. As sovereign over the length of his days. He said, the Lord has taken away. Job understood, as you and I should, that our lives are not our own. Our lives are not our own. We have an appointed time, beloved. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed unto man once. We all have that appointment. We know not when, we know not where or how or why, but it's there. And Job reminded himself of this. In Job chapter 7 and verse 1, he said, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? And in verse 7 of that same chapter, he says, oh, remember that my life is wind. It's short. Life is short, even at its longest span. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, we see that our lives are 80 and perhaps by reason of strength, 80 years. That's all of that God has basically given to man. Some go a little over, a lot go a lot less. But there is an appointment, a time that we must keep. Job recognized this as well. And I'm sure he was thinking about his children that had been taken away. They were gone. God controls it all, beloved. Don't let us ever get in that state of condition of our lives to believe that we are in charge, that we do and say what we want to, and that God has no say. Forget it. God is in control of every facet of our lives. That's why we need to put our faith in Him. That's why we need to trust in Him. God even controls the very breath that we breathe. We just take it for granted, don't we? We sit there and exhale and inhale and, oh, we just enjoy it. God is in control of it. In Daniel chapter 5 and verse 23, Daniel reminds King Belshazzar on the night that he was having that wild party and using the things from the house of God when the handwriting came on the wall. Daniel reminded him that the God of heaven, in whose hands your very breath is. And that night, King Belshazzar died. God holds it in his hand. And that's why this evening, my beloved, it is imperative that we seek to put our faith and our trust into this God that even Daniel knew. There is none greater than he. None greater than he. And to know that he will be there, not if our world falls apart, but when. Not if, but when. For beloved, as we sit here this evening, maybe we have gone through these difficult tests in our life. Maybe even now you're in here and things have happened even today that made you feel that your life and your world is falling apart. We don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the other. Job did not know. He was not given advance notice, and neither did Job understand why. But his faith in God gave him the courage to stand and the strength to go on. Beloved, it's where we get our strength. It's where we get the courage. We just can't go on when these devastating things happen in our lives. We are bound to fall. We are bound to question why. We are bound to throw up our hands in despair. Why? Because it's that human nature. We have that human nature that lives within us that says, stop, blame God. It's not your fault. It's God's fault, whatever may be happening. Beloved, we have to put things in their perspective, and we have to put God first. And remember that he is in charge and he will give us the strength. Then thirdly, Job saw the Lord as always the same, one who never changes. He never changes. Beloved, your friends will change, your family will change, many things in life will change around us, but he never changes. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. And you can guarantee that. That's a guarantee. You know who changed? You and I do. You and I change because of our lives and the things that happen in life. We change. He never changed. Job says, in spite of the heartaches, in spite of all of the devastating news of that day, and apparently it came within a space of an hour. While one was speaking, the other one came, and the other one came, and the other one came. And yet he could say, in spite of it all, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, I was thinking while going through this, it's so very easy for you and I to praise God when everything is going right in our lives. It's so easy for us to say we've got faith in God. But beloved, when the test comes, when the trials come, when our world begins to fall apart around us, where is our faith? That's when we need faith. That's when we need to believe that he is what he says he is, and that he will do what he says he will do if we only trust and obey. We got to trust and obey. We can't just trust him for a part of life. We got to trust him for everything. Tonight, if you made a commitment in your life to Jesus Christ, we need to trust him. He is able. He is able to do anything. And beloved, and I'm sure that you have, just like I have, you've seen many things happen in life that we thought was impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. It's for some reason in our lives, and I suppose it's that human, we find it kind of hard to say, praise God and thank you, God, when things are going wrong in our lives. As a matter of fact, Job's wife in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die. But here's what he said unto her. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall not we receive evil? In other words, it can't be good all the time. And beloved, if you're living for the Lord Jesus tonight, there is a guarantee that your life will not always be lived on a bed of roses. Absolutely not. You've got to be prepared for your world to fall apart. You've got to be prepared to be tested. But the encouraging part this evening is, you can do it if you put your faith in God. God will give you the strength. God will give you the courage like He has given to so many people over the years. God is always there. He's always right. As I said to begin with, He sees everything down the road of life. He knows exactly what is going to happen in every one of our lives. Exactly what's going to happen. We don't. Thank God we don't. But He knows. That's why we need to trust Him. That's why we need to have faith in Him. Because He knows. And He is faithful. He is faithful. Faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13 says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot. Isn't this wonderful? He cannot deny Himself. In other words, if we don't have faith in Him, He is still faithful. He never changes. Oh, beloved, this evening, let us put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus. We may be going, as I've said, or gone through some extreme difficulties in life. But I encourage you tonight, God loves us. There's no doubt in my mind I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be standing here this evening were it not for the love of God, were it not for the strength of God and for the courage of God in my life. I wouldn't be here. I know that. But I am here because of His love and because of His faithfulness, because of His strength, because of His love. And beloved, I trust that that's the reason that you're here too. He says to you tonight, my child, you're mine. Isn't that wonderful? No matter what, my child, you're mine. I love you. I care for you. And I will take care of you. And you and I have to exercise our faith, not just once a week, but every day that we live. Ask God to give us that faith. Faith. Faith for one step more. One step more. One step more as we walk the road of life. Faith for one step more to see us through each day of our lives. He allowed Job to suffer deeply. But we see the encouraging end in Job chapter 42 verses 12 through 13. And I want to share them with you as I close this evening. He says, so the Lord blessed the latter hand of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she-asses, and he also gave him 7 sons and 3 more daughters. All of the result of a man's faith in God when his world fell apart around him. You see, God is always there. We don't understand. We don't know the reasons why. But God is always there. And He will meet that need if we have faith in our God. I beg of you this evening, and I pray that you will put your faith and trust in this God. Not in me. I'm fallible. Not in Brother Frank. Not in anyone else. But in God. He will never fail. He will never fail. May God bless and encourage our hearts this evening as we go out. Let us keep the faith in our God for His name's sake. Amen. Father, we thank You this evening for the story of this man named Job. We know that he was tempted and tried above and beyond that which perhaps we will ever experience in life. But nevertheless, he trusted his God. He could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And oh, may that be the prayer of our hearts and lives. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that whatever circumstance or situation arises in our lives, we have that faith in you to know that you will see us through and that the sun will shine again. Encourage each heart in this service this evening, I pray, O Father. Just be with each one and bless. And Lord, even if they're going through difficulties now, or they face difficulties at a later date, may they remember this message, Lord, the story of Job, a man of faith in God. Increase our faith, we pray this evening, Father. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I just want us to sing one verse. Of number 445. I hope that we know it. I think we do. All the way my Savior leads me, what am I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, ere by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. We'll just sing the first two verses, then our service will be over. May God bless you as our prayer this evening for His name's sake. Amen. Stand.
All the way my Savior leads me, what am I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy?